Hi guys, welcome to Subconsciously. My name is Shay, and this is the place where I let my subconscious thoughts do the talking. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Subconsciously. My name is Shay, and today's topic is all about burnout. You may be experiencing burnout, you may have experienced burnout, but this is kind of a two-parter episode. This is part one. It's going to be talking about all the things that go into burnout, where it came from, the stages of it, the symptoms of it, and how we can recover from it. I've experienced firsthand what burnout feels like, and I've also recovered from it multiple times, may not have fully recovered from it, but to a point where my mental state has become better. But I have realized burnout is real. I've experienced it multiple times, and it is what the second episode is going to be about, the two-parter, how I've recovered from burnout, the things that have happened to me specifically in my community support worker job of burnout. So I think I have a pretty good understanding of how it feels like, what I've gone through with it. But alas, this episode is just about what burnout is, where it came from. Is it that big a deal? So let's dive in, shall we? Disclaimer, just like the grief episode, I do have a notebook. So if you hear me flipping like this, it's just to go through the notes I have that I have prepared. I will put them in the description for the YouTube, but these are the major things that I've collected from my resources. So let's dive in. What is burnout? So burnout is typically a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion, and it's caused by excessive or prolonged stress or frustration. Burnout can really come from anything, but where this syndrome came from, it actually was a term that was created in the 1970s by an American psychologist named Herbert Freudenberger. And he made this term to describe the result of high-level stress, mainly in, in quote, helping jobs. So like nursing, doctors, community support workers, any job that is high in requirement of helping others, or just a job that has high-level stress, could be a kitchen. Burnout syndrome, it started in the 1970s, and most people debate, is it real? Are you just experiencing high-level stress? But from research, burnout is very much real. If we've been talking about it since the 1970s, and even then, that is still pretty recent, the 1970s. I know it doesn't seem that way, but burnout is definitely something that is not very much talked about. When you've gone through burnout, you may not even realize you are going through it until you're in it. And burnout can pretty much come from anything, but in the terms that Herbert, he put it in mainly in jobs, but nonetheless, it can happen anywhere. So now I'm going to jump into the stages of burnout. There are five main stages of burnout. There's the honeymoon phase, the onset stress phase, chronic stress phase, burnout phase, and habitual burnout phase. So number one, the honeymoon phase. This is when you enter your new job with high energy, high optimism, and you pretty much experience pure happiness and a healthy work-life balance, and you're not really realizing how good you have it, that nothing can touch you in this phase with your job and with burnout. You think, ah, I could never burn out because this is such a fun job. There is nothing in this job. I could never go to another job because this job just speaks to me, is my calling. Moving on to number two, onset of stress phase. So this is the phase where you begin to feel the stress. It's not as frequent. It's not every moment of your job is stressful or overwhelming, but you will begin to notice the physical and mental signs of being more tired. Maybe your bones are aching. Maybe you're moving around a lot. Your mind is always constantly thinking about work. And this is also the phase where you slowly begin to lose more focus. You're a little less productive, but you're still productive. You're physically tired. You have difficulty sleeping, but nothing crazy. You can still enjoy life outside of work. Number three, chronic stress phase. So this is a phase that now enters more stress than usual, and it's more frequent. It feels like everything is more overwhelming, more of a feeling where you can't handle what's going on around you. There's more pressure at work. There's more likely more stress that will impact your work. And also around this phase, you may withdraw and have less expression of feelings. Like you may not be as joyful as you were in the honeymoon phase. And you may also lose interest or have more concerns. And you just might feel indifferent. You might not just feel anything. And you just don't have that same passion you did in the honeymoon phase. You may not complete your work on time. You may show up late. And socially, this is where you may stop engaging in work talk with your coworkers, or you may have just built up anger emotions that may follow you home and that your family or your friends or your spouse may see in you. Four, burnout phase. So this is a phase where you've definitely reached your limit in burnout, and you just don't function like you did in the honeymoon phase. In this phase of burnout, whatever you may be going through at work becomes overwhelming, becomes more stressful, becomes something that you may start doubting whatever you're doing. It may be a simple task. It may just be as simple as like, did I forget something? Oh no, what am I doing? Like, is this where I'm meant to be in my life? And it's becoming very, very overwhelming. And mentally and physically, you may express that you're more tired often, and you may experience more headaches, maybe some stomach issues, and you're definitely more short with people. I've definitely been more short with people. Number five, habitual burnout phase. So this is the part of burnout where it just becomes a part of your everyday life. You just think, this is it. This is where I am. And what I find in the habitual burnout phase, also known as the living burnout, is if you don't find ways to help you get out of your burnout, it could actually lead to bigger mental health problems. You become more anxious. You could actually have depression over this burnout. And due to the burnout, you also may make impulsive decisions, like because you're doubting, because you're anxious, because you are so sad over this job and where you are in your life because of it, you may impulsively quit your job, or you may just not perform well enough to even keep your job. And that can be a really scary thing, because when you're living in it, and you're not even realizing, you're kind of just doing a back and forth. You come home, you don't do anything. You're just trying to eat, sleep, repeat, right? You work, eat, sleep, repeat. Work, eat, sleep, repeat. And you're not finding yourself getting out of that cycle, out of that loop. You're definitely living in burnout, especially if you're still finding that as the cycle continues, you're more unhappy and things aren't working out. The symptoms of burnout. There are three main symptoms to be aware of: is exhaustion, depersonalization, and reduced personal accomplishment. So let's just dive in, and then I'll dive right into the physical, emotional, and behavioral symptoms. Exhaustion. This is a symptom of feeling tiredness in both physical and mental aspects. It's like no matter what energy is put out, you are still tired. You could be expressing to your friends that, I'm just so tired. I just have no energy. I can't hang out tonight. I'm just so tired. I just need to go to sleep because I have to go to work the next day. Or physically, you feel fine, but mentally, you're just kind of blank. No matter what you're doing, you're just exhausted. Two, depersonalization. This is the symptom of the tired and numbing feelings. This is where your mind may become more doubtful and more distrusting in not just others, but in yourself, in how you perform. You may think that what you're doing is not enough. What you're doing is nothing to be compared to how it felt in the honeymoon phase. You might feel like, I was so good back then, what changed? And also in the depersonalization phase, you also may find it more difficult to communicate how you're feeling or what you're going through to other people. That whether you're deciding you want to tell someone right away that, hey, I'm feeling really burnt out, I'm feeling exhausted, I need like a day or two to just practice some self-care. You're finding it more difficult to be honest about being in burnout because if you're prideful like me, you kind of don't want anyone to know because you're always presenting yourself as this happy person who's willing to do anything. But when you're in burnout, you find it so hard to express those feelings. Anyways, I should be saving these thoughts for the next episode. Reduced personal accomplishment. So this is a symptom of while you're in your job, you just lose all joy in the job itself. You may lose any type of creativity in performing your job well. You may lose all concentration. You may be overdoing it. And you feel like even though you're on this schedule and you're, you know, doing your 9 to 5, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it doesn't feel like enough. And then whatever you put on top of yourself is more pressure, more stress, and you just don't feel satisfied. There's no joy in the things that you are doing. So moving on to the physical, emotional, and behavioral symptoms of burnout. Physical. This is where you are physically tired, you have difficulty sleeping, you may have a change in appetite where you might eat less, eat more, you might eat a lot and then suddenly eat less. There is so many things that can change in your appetite. You may find yourself eating more fast food rather than healthy food. You may be experiencing more headaches and muscle pain. Emotional. In this symptom, emotionally, you might have no motivation at all. Extreme feelings of self-doubt or extreme feelings of being a failure or having extreme loneliness because you are prioritizing your job or this thing that is stressing you out rather than focusing on some self-care. Behavioral. In your behavior, you may tend to isolate from social gatherings, or you might tend to isolate from people who, in quote, drain your energy, but could actually give you more energy if you just allowed it. In your behavior, you may also experience that you're not fulfilling your tasks, or if you are fulfilling your tasks, you're not feeling any type of satisfaction in these tasks. And overall, you may just feel very angry, very short, have more outbursts. You might get into more arguments than you usually would. So moving on from the symptoms of burnout, how can we even recover from burnout? If we don't even realize that we're experiencing burnout, how can we get in a groove where we don't have to experience burnout and be like 100%, then we're drained? Then we build ourselves up again. And then we're back to 100%. How can we always be at a consistent level where we're not completely drained, where we're not even feeling like a functional person? So I have 8 little tips to share with you of how to recover from burnout. I have definitely done all of these things. Some are big, some are small, some you pay for, some you don't. But I'm gonna start with, I guess, the most expensive, depending on how far your burnout has gone. But I definitely recommend it. It's therapy. Therapy is a great way to consistently not burn out. Where, say you are at 100%, get your therapist at 100%, where you're feeling that joy, where you're feeling that high. Because when you reach, let me go back in my notes here, when you reach the second phase of burnout, of the onset of stress, at least you have someone right away who you can talk to, who can give you those healthy coping mechanisms. They may even be able to pinpoint where you might be feeling stress and how you can decrease in your stress. There are so many benefits to therapy. Even if you are extremely burnt out, whether you are mid burnt out, whether you don't experience it at all, it is so great to have a person who wants to listen to you, wants to share personal information with you. And from my experience, when I was going through burnout and I had therapy, it was so relieving because I didn't feel so alone in it. I definitely got some healthy resources of how to change my coping mechanisms. And that is the next one. find better coping mechanisms. When you're in the cycle of sleep, eat, repeat, and you're not finding time for yourself, your coping mechanism is to be a shell, right? Come home, engage in a short amount of time, maybe laying on the couch and just watch some TV, fall asleep to whatever on TV, and then you wake up and you do the whole thing all over again. That is not a healthy coping mechanism. Substituting TV for like maybe like a book, some quiet time, meditation, journaling, all these things are better coping mechanisms than just laying there. Even going out for a 5 to 10 minute walk to just improve your dopamine, get your muscles relaxed, do some stretches. Like, it doesn't have to be a high impact run. You can just get some fresh air. That fresh air is so much better than you just laying at home, circulating the same air you've been pretty much breathing and exhaling the whole time. Number three, let some close friends, your coworkers, your families in. What I mean by that is when you're kind of going through the burnout stage, right? You tend to want to isolate because you think it's going to make you feel better. And maybe you're just too far gone and you just feel like no one understands. But if you can't afford therapy or you just haven't been in a stage where you think therapy works, let people in. Just relieve your stress and your worries onto other people as well. Share the burden. And for me, when I'm experiencing burnout, I always find that when I'm doing something that is more calming with people and we're sharing what we're going through together, it actually feels more humane. It feels like a weight has kind of been lifted off my shoulders, because then you realize you're not the only one who's going through stress. In this crazy world, we're all working as hard as we can, or maybe we're not, because of burnout or because of whatever you're going through. To each their own. But sharing that burden, sharing that, not sharing burnout, but sharing how you're going through can really help you kind of realize what you've been doing. And even having a person be like, hey, if you need to get out of your house to just experience something just for an hour, and we can go get drinks, we could go have dinner, we can go to a cafe shop and just like talk, or you can come to my place, or I can come to your place, and we can just have a chat, just decompress. It actually does a lot for you rather than just staying home and just bottling everything in. Number four, practicing self-care and self-compassion. What I learned most in college when I was going into this field, I had never worked with people of mental and physical disabilities before in my life. When I was in college, I was 19, 20 years old. So yeah, about 2 years ago now. And what I learned most and what they really focus on the most is that you have to practice self-care when you're in a helping field, because a lot of people end up actually quitting their jobs. And that's what I was talking about with the impulsive decisions of quitting your job, is if you don't practice your self-care, you will find a reason to leave your job, no matter how good it is, no matter how well it treats you, no matter how good a team you have, you will always find a reason to quit. And when you practice self-care, like reading a book, going out for fresh air, journaling, going out with friends, finding a balance between your work life and your out of work life, you find that you're more compassionate to the people that you work with and more compassionate to yourself. You have more of a sense of ability. And when you practice self-care, I know when I practice self-care, like doing a face mask, taking a shower, doing all these things, it actually relieves a lot of my worries. And I know it's not that easy if you're experiencing extreme burnout. And maybe what you have to do is take vacation. Just even one simple day to yourself to just practice what I'm preaching. What I'm preaching right now is you've got to take care of yourself. Whether that starts with waking up, journaling, if you're religious, talking to God, reading a book, going for a walk, spending time with friends and family, going out to different places so you're not stuck in the same scenery. Maybe you have to go out for a drive. Maybe you have to go experience things that you've never experienced. Whatever your form of self-care is, while you're doing it, it shouldn't be something that stresses you out. That is the main thing. Self-care shouldn't be something that you put pressure on yourself like, okay, now I have to relax. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do this because it will make me feel better. No. Self-care is anything that relaxes you. Self-care should never feel forced at all. And I want to make that perfectly clear. Most people think they have to keep themselves busy in order to avoid things. Self-care should just come naturally to you. Whatever makes you de-stress should be what you focus on. The next things are combined. It is focus on better habits, try to get some sleep. Focusing on better habits means when you leave work, although it is stressful, take that drive, prepare your lunches for the next day, take a shower, go to sleep earlier, spend more time with people that you love, spend more time doing things you love, things that make you really happy, whether it be side ventures, whether it be diving into working out more, or even listening to new music. Any type of habit that you can replace the stress with when you leave the stressful environment overall is going to be better for you. That is all I have for you guys today, explaining burnout, the symptoms of burnout, the stages of burnout, and how to slowly recover from burnout. In the next episode, I will be coming and talking to you about how I've experienced burnout as a CSW, a community support worker, and how I have, one, addressed it, two, noticed, and definitely took my time doing some self-care and overall finding things that make me happy outside of work. So when I go to work, I have something to share, something to pretty much make my day better and also look forward to post-work. And that's it, guys. That is all my explanation of burnout for you this week, and I will return for a part two of burnout next week. If you had anything at all to contribute of what you know about burnout or anything, you can find me on Instagram. It is Scoop Subconsciously. SCOOPSUBCONSCIOUSLY. Scoop Subconsciously. But that's it, guys. I just wanted to take the time to thank you for choosing Subconsciously today. And I really hope I placed more in your mind for your subconscious brain. And I'll see you guys next time on Subconsciously, where my subconscious thoughts do the talking. Bye, guys.